My name is Nyamega, and I am quite honored to be standing in front of you tonight. And I do not take this very lightly at all. I treasure it, and I do hope that the Lord is going to deliver a message. Standing in front of you is Nyamega, but I hope that God delivers a message. I do not take glory for myself. I give glory to God. So, tonight we're going to talk about something that people have heard quite a lot. Before we do, I actually want to talk about something that happened with me this week. I think this week I experienced something that I can term it as either a beginning of a revival or a revival in progress. I'll tell you why. I work for an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ, and all our staff, we gathered in Gauteng in Pretoria, and we were there for about a week, and all of us are multicultural, multiracial. It's a multiracial organization, and we gathered there, and we began to talk about things that are bothering us as a nation, bothering us as a people, are bothering us as different races. And it was such a breakthrough to see that everybody's carrying pain. Everybody's carrying a concern. And it was such a great environment that was provided for everybody to listen. You will agree with me that everybody's carrying pain. Everybody's talking over each other. Nobody's willing to listen. And it was so encouraging to see God at work, where a certain race would come and would share their pain, and everybody would say, "We hear your pain." And all the races represent, we had white, we had black, we had colored, we had Indian. Everybody that was there, we shared the concern, and the concern was received, and we prayed for each other. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'd never seen anything like that before. I think it's because the church doesn't know what to do, especially with the issue of race. The church doesn't know what to do. We want to do something, but we don't really know exactly what it is that we can do. And we're hoping that this is something that is going to go out throughout the whole country to bring about reconciliation. More importantly, to bring about love, and love that comes from God. So I was quite blessed to witness such a thing, and I'm hoping more and more of these are coming by God's grace. Amen. So this is revival. What is revival? I just basically took a few notions. Obviously, there's a whole lot more where revival is concerned, but restoration to life, consciousness, vigor, strength, etc. This is a secular type of explanation about what revival is. You just revive something that was dead. Noted, it was alive, but it died, so you bring it back to life. In a Christian terms, a spiritual reawakening, making sure that what was lost in terms of our spiritual lives is now being regained through Christ. And Christ is reawakening us and give us a new leaf, giving us a new encouragement, giving us a new purpose, a fresh anointing. And also, the third one, which is it invigorates, it deepens our faith. So revival, when it happens, it gives us that renewed deep faith, that renewed love, that life that we never thought we would get again. You had it before, but you're losing it. So you never thought you'd get again, therefore you're getting it. So that's what revival happens. So let's see what Psalm 85 says. Psalm 85, to the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. And put away our indignation. Put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Before we go, I just want to talk about the sons of Korah. I'm sure you will have heard about the sons of Korah. So in the book of Numbers chapter 16, this is what happens. Korah decides he's going to stage an uprising against Moses. What he decides on, he takes 250 people that were serving in the tabernacle. He takes them and they go to Moses. They charge up against Moses. They say, it is not fair that you and Aaron are the only ones that can go into the tabernacle. Let us also go. And Moses hid his face. He went to the Lord and he prayed. The following day, Moses says, okay, come. This is what's going to happen. If you are from God, nothing will happen to you. But if this is a rebellion that is against your heart, the earth will swallow you. Just read the story. It's quite an interesting story. It's a long story. I'm just giving it a one-minute summary. But what happens is, the 250 men with Korah, what happens is, as they offer incense unto the Lord, because they're thinking they're doing the right thing, the earth opens up and it swallows them. They die. 250 of them die. And obviously, then we knew that it was rebellion. It was not something that came from the Lord. But what happens is, which is kind of funny, Israel, Moses' people, they say, you've killed, how dare you? You kill these people. You kill the people of the Lord. Moses goes again to God. He prays to the Lord. And the Lord says to Moses, he comes in a cloud and he says, you must turn away. You must step aside because I'm going to deal with these people. And the Lord deals with them, actually. He kills 14,700. And then he and Aaron run. They run into the tabernacle. They said, Lord, stop. Don't kill them. So, which means that rebellion against the Lord, as the word says, is just as witchcraft. The Lord will not take it. So what happens is, the only thing that people can come up with, or scholars can come up with, is that the fact that his sons, Korah's sons, were too young. Because when this happened, all the families of these 250 people was wiped out. But Korah's sons did not die. So the only explanation they can give is that maybe they were too young. So generations later, these sons of Korah actually become vital in many, many things. They become doorkeepers during the time of King David and also during the time of Nehemiah. They occupy such beautiful spaces. They minister through music. What they do is they also minister through, they prophesy. They use instruments, they prophesy, they will do all of these wonderful things before the Lord. And if anything we can learn from them is the fact that the sins of our father does not define where we end up. Ezekiel 18 actually talks about the same thing, that if the father is cursed, doesn't mean that the son is cursed as well. So you can see which this guy caused such a great uprising, Korah, but his sons, his great-great-grandchildren, actually have such an important place in the tabernacle of the Lord. So, let's look at this in perspective. Actually, scholars, you can go to the next slide. Scholars actually, they struggle, or they I've read two sides of the coin. Some scholars give it that they were rescued from Babylon. Some scholars say they were given the land from Canaan, which are two different times. So it's kind of hard to tell which time is the right time. But this is something that happens as a community lament. They come together as a unit, as a people. They lament, and basically they realize that the fruitfulness of the Lord was withheld. God had given them something before, but now he's holding it back. And they realize that this is the case. They knew that it was there before, but they want him to forgive them. And also they realize that at one point, when they sinned against the Lord and they repented, the Lord forgave them. He saved them from captivity. He gave them the land, Canaan. He chose them to dwell there. And then he asked them to build a sanctuary. So they remember these things. These are the kind of things that they know existed before, but they know that these things actually do not exist right now. That is why in verse 4 to 7, they ask God to restore them and forgive them. They basically want God to cause revival in their hearts. They want God to change their hearts, to turn their hearts around, to give them something that they currently do not have. And they are pleading with God's character. And they want to rejoice in God. This is something I wrote here. They were dead, but now they are spiritually enlightened, which means that they realize, you know, there's a scripture in Ephesians 2, it says, we were dead in our trespasses, but we were made alive in Christ Jesus. So they are coming to realization that they were dead, but they do want God to revive them again. They want God to restore them. They want God to give them life. They want God to give them the reawakening that they need. Let's move on to another verse. And then verses 8 and 9, they want to hear God's word, appealing for God's benevolence. They promise to keep his word. They said, we'll listen to his word. God will speak peace. They will sit and wait for the Lord and wait for his providence. This is what they've decided. This is something that happens when we are seeking for something, for God to do something that we don't know, or we haven't tasted yet, or we used to taste, but we don't taste anymore because we ourselves have forgotten who God is. But we sit down, we wait, we listen to him. We ask for forgiveness. We ask him to revive us, and we ask that we hear his word. All right. And then 10 to 13, God's response gives us favor. His glory manifested, his faithfulness, his steadfast love. I wrote here, his salvation is close to those who fear him, for those who serve him with godly fear and reverence. The reason why I think Ross asked me to share today is because I think for the past while I've been actually sharing with him that I think as a country we're at the cusp, right about to touch it, right about to taste it, but we actually our own worst enemies. We're about to touch revival. But God is looking to work. But God cannot work with us if we remain stubborn. He will not use us if you don't recognize the times. He will not be able to use us as blessings if you don't see that we are standing in our own way of his blessing. So I've been sharing this with him, and I've been just wondering how it is that we can actually do it. So I thought that we can, instead of just standing and sitting and me preaching, we can actually pray. So this is what I have next. So if we can divide into groups of four and we just pray. And then I'm going to call a few people. These people, I didn't want them before, but I hope I have the liberty to call them right now. But if we can just separate into two groups, and then, so we're going to do number one. And then after 5 minutes, we stop with number one. We move on to number two. After 5 minutes, we stop. And then again and again. And then what's going to happen is I'm going to call a few people. After we do the first topic, then somebody's going to close us. And then after the topic, somebody's also going to close us. And then on and on and on. Do we get each other? Okay, so we can mess this room around. It's fine if we can just separate into groups of four.
Yeah, so thank you, Jesus Christ, that that you open up our eyes for what is real, Lord, and that we can say, Lord, we physically turn our backs towards sin, Lord, and we look to you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you make a way for us where there's no way, where we feel there's no way, Lord. And open up our eyes to see, Lord, that you are disgraced with sin and that that there is joy in Jesus Christ. So thank you, Jesus Christ, that you've made a way for us to be reconciled with Father God.
So for the second part, which is restore us and forgive us. So we're going to take 5 minutes again, and I'll ask Susel after 5 minutes to come and pray and close the second part.
Yeah, Father, thank you that that we can trust for restoration tonight, Father, and specifically in families as well, Lord, that we will start the reconciliation, Lord. And we ask for a humility to break through, Lord. We pray against pride and anger and bitterness, and we ask that for willingness, Lord, to climb the mountain of forgiveness, Father. And thank you for freedom on the other side, Lord. We pray for our country, and we pray for forgiveness within our country, Lord. And that humility to break through in South Africa, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you forgave us and help us to forgive each other, Lord, and also ourselves. I pray for every person sitting here who's struggling to forgive him or herself, and also in our country, maybe the government or anywhere, Lord, the struggle to forgive. And we just ask for that forgiveness. Thank you that you made it possible, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
So the next point, and then after 5 minutes, we'll ask Siko to close for us about revival.
Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can sit here, God, standing expectant, God, of a fresh outpouring, God. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit. And we're tired of drinking, Lord, of a cup, God, Lord, when you say we must jump in the river, God. We ask, Lord, that you come in, God, like a flood, God. And that as we sang, God, earlier, Lord, that, Father, people would know that you are in this land, Lord. Come, restore your beauty in us again, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you come. You've never not pitched, and we thank you, Lord, that we can stand, God, in faith, God, knowing that you come, Lord. Come do a new thing, Holy Spirit. Change our lives, Lord. Thank you for your outpouring, Lord. In Jesus' name.
So the next part is God's glory to dwell in our land. So we're going to take 5 minutes, and after 5 minutes, I'll ask Dolph to come in and close for us, please.
Father, we thank you that we can be in the southern tip of this beautiful continent, in this country called South Africa, that we believe through various ways you have planted us here. We love this country. We thank you for the beauty of our Table Mountain, the rivers of our country, Father, the fact that it's so fruitful. We thank you for the Boland and for the Transvaal and all the Mililande. Father, like someone has shared now, as this country, this part of South Africa, reflects majestic beauty looking at the mountain. May this people groups in this southern part of Africa reflect this amazing glory of God as you do something amazing in individual lives, as we are the handiwork of God on the clay, on the potter's wheel, and you shape us individually to a way that reflects your glory, that where you look good is when individually we start to reflect you. This is our prayer for our beautiful country, Father, that nations outside this country will look at the people groups and say, wow, I love that love between the ethnic groups. We love this. God must be in this country because the people love each other with a brotherly phileo love. We thank you and we speak that into existence, Father.
Steadfast love for God and His people. In my mind, I can't think of anyone who loves, at least in my immediate friendship, who loves people more than Bradley does. So Bradley, you're going to close for us.
Yeah, Father, thank you, Lord, that you are love. Your name is love, Lord. The ultimate love that we will ever experience, Lord. And yeah, as we're praying, Lord, I'm just being reminded, Lord, that Jesus, when you died, you not only reconciled us to God, but you also reconciled us to each other, Lord. And the love that we have for one for another, Lord, you come on, as you said, by the love that we have for one for another, people will know that you are my disciples, Lord. Yeah, no greater love as someone who's willing to lay down his life for his friends, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you give us love, Lord. And we are able to love one another because you first loved us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you saved this world through love, Lord. You love this world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Lord. And that we should not perish, Lord, but have eternal love, Lord. And our hearts pray and our hearts desires, Lord, that same love, Lord, will come into our hearts and overwhelm us, Lord. And the next time we see a brother struggling, Lord, that we will have the earnesty to pray for one another, Lord. And that steadfastness of our love, Lord, will be the foundation of what we walk in, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much, Lord, that you gave it the ultimate price, Lord. And we just want to say in response to that, that we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we give you honor and we give you glory, God the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
For this last part, it talks about faithfulness. I think we can all agree that God is faithful and we're not. So let's just pray for ourselves to just remain in His love. And by everything that we can have to say, okay, Lord, we just want to be as faithful as you are. And also we thank Him. The thing is, He's never going to change. We will change, but He's never going to change. So let's thank Him for His faithfulness. So I'll close us in 5 minutes. Karababa shata robobu shaka robobu shanda robobu shikere bebe shata karababa shanda robobu shata korobobu shikere bebe shata karababa shata korobobu shanda rababa shikere bebe shata korobobu shanda robobu shaka karababa shanda robobu shikere bebe shata korobobu shata korobobu shata korobobu shata korobobu shata tere bebe shanda robobu shikere bebe shata korobobu shanda robobu shata. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you're faithful throughout the ages, oh God. The word tells us of your faithfulness. It tells us of your love for us. Father, we miss you at sometimes. We misunderstand what you're saying. But Father, we can rest in the fact that we have a perfect God, but an imperfect people, oh God. So we thank you, Lord, for your love. Father, your love is greater than anything we can ever imagine. And that's why we're thankful that we can call you Father. We're grateful that you can call you Lord. We get grateful that we can call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords, oh God. That your faithfulness has been there, Father God. We can count many people who trusted in you and you were faithful to them. We think of Moses, oh God. You were faithful to him. We think of David. You were faithful to him. We think of Rahab, Father God. The prostitute, you are faithful to her, Father God. We think of many people, Father God, many people that come to mind. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're faithful, you've remained faithful, and you will remain faithful. We can never, ever outgive you. We can never outpour you. We can never do anything that supersedes your love for us, that supersedes your faithfulness to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just if you can go to that that Psalm 85, the very first scripture. You know, it's amazing for me to just when I was going through the Psalm and just looking at just how wonderful it is. Psalm 84 and 85 are written by the sons of Korah, And you can see how the Lord was faithful through them. Their father was not faithful, but God was faithful in them. So, if possible, can we all just read it together? I know it's a long psalm. I'm challenging us today. But we're trusting the Lord that the Lord is going to do beyond what we even imagine. Okay. We can start from verse 1. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you not be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Amen.